Hi guys, welcome.
Hey.
Hi. Thanks for coming with me today and being with What's Poppin' Terrebonne. Alright, and we got Chris Domain and Jessica Domain, the District 5 council lady. How's it going, guys?
It's good to see you.
It was good?
Oh yeah, it's going fine.
Man, I could have swore like years ago you guys invited me to y'all wedding and I never got the RSVP. I was probably working or something, and stuff.
Yeah, you missed the good part.
Yeah.
We actually just celebrated our 10th anniversary.
Yeah, so I do remember getting that 10 years ago. I remember my wife saying something. I was like, well, I'm going offshore. She's like, well, I don't really know him too well and stuff. I was like, all right, sorry I missed that, guys.
It's all right.
And stuff. And to be clear, we're not great friends, but we're just acquaintances. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Me and you, Chris, we've done some business here and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And stuff. So, I really want to get with you there, Jessica. You know, you are the newly elected District 5 council lady. You know, what's that like?
It's been very interesting. It's been very interesting. And, actually, it just made a year a couple days ago that we were elected,
mm-hmm.
Which was very exciting. It doesn't even seem like a year because so much has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a challenging year. It's been a difficult year. I don't think any of us council people or anybody in the world knew what we were going to get ourselves into,
mm-hmm.
with COVID and with the world changing whenever we were elected. So it's made the job different in the fact that I had all these really good plans and all these things that I wanted to see happen, and then the world stopped, and so we had to readjust.
And it was just like, shut down, go home,
yeah.
You know. And, I could have swore like 4 years ago, Chris, you ran, right? You ran for district council.
Yes, I did.
And it was close. It was really, really close. You beating Krista, right?
Yeah, it was really close. It was about 90 vote differential.
90 votes, and I didn't even vote that year. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, man.
And I could have, maybe if I did something, you'd be here. So what's it like being like the first man to the first lady of District 5?
I was just there to encourage and just be there for her, just as somebody to bounce ideas off of. I think a lot of times it's very beneficial. So, having done it and having been involved in the local politics for quite some time, it's a really good relationship. Like, she can bounce things off of me. Maybe there's some history lessons of something that might have happened. Because I'm from here. I grew up in Chauvin. So I can reflect on things that might have happened 15, 20 years ago that she might not be as familiar with. And, we can talk it out, understand maybe sometimes why things are the way they are. So it's just a really good relationship.
So you grew up in Chauvin. Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Morgan City.
In Morgan City.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you guys meet? End up over here?
Just kind of some mutual friends. She was actually living... pretty much when we met, you were already living in Gray, I believe.
Yeah, correct? whenever I graduated high school, I graduated from Berwick High School, and whenever I graduated, I actually moved to Terrebonne Parish, and I went to Nichols State.
Okay.
And then after I finished Nichols, which I was a bit of a non-traditional student, but after I finished Nichols, I decided to go get my master's degree at LSU.
Okay.
And while I was at LSU is whenever I started dating Chris, and so I was enmeshed in policy and procedure and all these different... coursework, just different things, and it was really, really interesting for me, and so that's kind of where our political relationship started, because I was studying all these things, and then we were dating for 6 months and Chris proposed, and then here we are, and it's been about 12 years later, and so it's just been a really interesting relationship. I mean, interesting the fact that we do talk about politics all the time. I mean, that's kind of like our hobby.
I really feel like more people should talk about it. It's almost an obtuse subject. Even locally, even local politics is obtuse. My wife, she's in a hair salon all day,
mm-hmm.
and they try to refrain from that, from talking even about local politics. And I could understand, it might be bad for business or whatever, but I open discussions is always good,
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys have a couple kids. What school do they go to in the ages?
Well, we have Adelaide and Liliana. Adelaide is 8 and Liliana is 6. They're in 3rd grade and 1st grade at St. Gregory.
Oh, okay.
So they've been at St. Gregory since each of them were 3 years old. And they're fun.
That's awesome.
We have a really good time with them.
Kids are tough, man. Kids, especially girls. My girls... my girls were very chill when they were young, and mm-hmm. now that they're teenagers, it's like, oh my God, I love you, but what's going on? Like, what's going on with you guys? Sometimes, like, I feed you, I love you, I put a roof over your head, but why do I get this attitude sometimes? You know what I'm saying?
We get that here in our house too. Absolutely.
You know, yeah. And,
especially an 8-year-old. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how do they adjust to this COVID life? How's the whole family adjusted to this? You know, everything shutting down and reopening and masks at school.
Well, we didn't have the experience that a lot of people had, or that we saw in the media, or that we saw some other people that we know had, because when schools shut down in March, we both work in jobs where we have to go to the office, because I work at a clinic. I'm a social worker at one of the local clinics. Mm-hmm. And so I had to go to the clinic. Chris is a financial planner. He mm-hmm. had to go to the office. So we kind of freaked out a little bit because we didn't know what to do. So school closed on Friday. We had a bit of a crisis over the weekend. I ended up finding out that the state offered a program where they would pay for the children to go to daycare. Mm-hmm. So school closed Friday. My children were enrolled in daycare on Monday. So we never had the stay home and quarantine and, you know, stay home, stay safe. We, you know, mm-hmm. Doing all these projects together as a family and all this, you know, you'd see all, but because we were working, we had to go to work.
I got that.
The world didn't shut down. And so for us anyway, so we continued to work. The children went to daycare. And then whenever camp opened, we were able to enroll them in camp. And then we were able to roll them back in school. Okay. So we never stayed home. So right. for us, it was very stressful, but we adjusted. And we adjusted the way we needed to adjust. Mm-hmm. I think for us, though, and what we talk about a lot with the kids that we've missed out so much is we're not homebodies. We yeah. like to go. We love festivals. Yeah. We love going to New Orleans on the weekend. We would just take the kids and mm-hmm. go walk around the French Quarter. We love going to the zoo. We love going to the aquarium. And so those things for us, I think we've missed out so mm-hmm. much. And it really, we've lost that sense of community yeah. because we'd go to every festival downtown, and mm-hmm. it was just so much fun. We'd bring the kids with us.
Yeah, that's like the only time I really got to see Chris. Every time I go to the festival, there's Chris walking around, shaking everybody's hand.
Yeah, and we truly miss that. We miss that, and hopefully we'll get that back soon, because that for me is the biggest part that I feel like we've missed out on the whole thing.
I'll tell you a little, I was really affected by COVID. I lost my job. I was traveling all around the world, you know, all around the world. I really got affected, you know. I'm oil, you know, I'm oil yeah. and stuff. I'm oil. I do, right, lately I've been working in wind, and I've been working in for the Corps Engineers up in Milwaukee okay. and stuff. I've been able to stay afloat, you know, mm-hmm. stay afloat and do fine. But I am an independent contractor now, so I can work for many different sectors of my industry.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And my industry is really big. It's not just oil, and I'm lucky enough out the guys to have so much experience that caught all the layoffs to be able to still be working right now.
Mm-hmm.
Be working right now. You know, and that's kind of... But I got to stay home with my family, you know. You know, I did take the government benefits, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff. It's making $120,000 a year to nothing, you know, mm-hmm. to nothing. You know, right. my wife does well. You know, I'm actually that oil worker. I'm that oil worker that in the last 12 years, I've seen 3 huge downturns.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what's those 12 years? I'm almost 40. That's the years I'm supposed to be making the most steadiest money in my life. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's weird for the oil industry, because you'll get this 22-year-old, like my son or something, mm-hmm. that's thrown in the oil field, and here's $80,000 a year,
right.
22 mm-hmm. years old. You know what I'm saying? 21 years old, and then it's just taken away from them. Like a lot of people that graduate right. college or in different parts of the United States, they start off making $25,000, and they build sure. to that six figure,
right.
and they learn how to budget and stuff like that. But I find that since the oil field's either feast or famine, you know,
that's correct.
We have serious issues in our parish because of that, you know, because of that.
And I think that's important that we realize and we recognize, and when we talk to each other or we talk to friends or we talk to families or even strangers, that we all have had our own separate experience with this. Mm-hmm. While we didn't lose anybody, we know people who have lost people. Mm. We had lots of people in our circle and in our family right. who had it. And they got better. So our experience was very different than your experience, but we all share that same experience. And so we should all respect each other for that and learn from it and move forward. And I think that's really the most important part.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So getting back to the subject, you know, District 5 council lady.
Okay.
Right? So what was it like running for office? If someone, like some young child or some kid hears this, you know, says, hey, you know, I want to be in politics someday, you know, what was it like? Did it put a burden on your family? Was it stressful? Like, how was it moving?
Well, for me, campaigning was really fun. And kind of to backtrack a little bit, we talked about Chris running a few years ago. And then after that, you know, I became very involved in politics and the fact that I became involved in the Republican Women. I would travel the state and meet lots of people, go to conferences, meet lots. I met senators and congressmen and so many people, and sitting in those conferences, I would think to myself, you know, I think I could do this. Like, I think that's something I'm interested in. And so Chris and I talked about it. We talked about the possibility of it happening one day. And then whenever no one put their name up for our council district, it was the very last day of qualifying. And I called Chris up and I said, no one's put their name up. And he said, well, what do you want to do about that? And I said, I think I'm going to run. And he said, are you sure about that? And I said, yeah. And I had a 2-hour break at my office. So I went and Secretary of State's office. I'm sorry, I went to Teresa Robichaud's office and qualified. And that was the beginning of this whole thing. And then it was full speed from there. And wow. So I had 2 months to really get myself out there. And we would campaign every weekend. I'd walk 20, 30 miles a weekend. And right. and I don't know how the candidates are doing it this year. I really feel for them because they can't get that experience of walking and door knocking because of COVID. But it was really fun. And we would involve the girls whenever we could, like going to the festivals or going to the different events that we could bring them to make sure that they were involved. Was it hard? It was a change for those couple months. But then after that, it's been really exciting because we do try to involve them as much as possible. And I try to teach them that this is how we're giving back to our community, and this is how we're making a difference. And so, yeah, mommy has to be at meetings sometimes, but it's just so that we can make Terrebonne Parish better.
That's awesome, you know, and it's good to have a strong female role model in your house with daughters, you know. Mm-hmm. Daughters, I constantly try, with my daughters, I have two daughters, and right. I constantly, you know, my wife's a great, great role model. She's one of the hardest working women I know. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to bring other big role models into her, like into my family, you know. My family just, even on the celebrity side, like one of my daughters is big in the softball, so I try to push Jenny Fitch on her. Look at Jenny Fitch. She's a great, you know, Olympic softball player. My other daughter is a big, big jiu-jitsu artist. You know what I'm saying? That's what she loves. So we try to push, you know, female black belts that are doing very well in jiu-jitsu because with jiu-jitsu and her, that's a lifetime thing to get a black belt, 6, 10, 12 years to get it, you know? So to keep her motivated and see strong women for our women, and especially in our area, because we're having so many women have babies so young here, to see more strong women and more women role models in our area, you know. So I really appreciate you coming out there and being a role model for our women in our area.
Yeah, you know? my 6-year-old, she actually told us the other day, she said, mommy, whenever I grow up, she wants to be a cheerleader. And then she said she wants to be a lawyer. And then she said she wants to be a councilwoman. And then she wants to be president of the United States. And I said, that's wonderful. You know, I just think that, and she's so confident that I have a feeling that she may do it. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, just giving them that, that drive, you know, and saying, yeah, you can do anything. I mean, anything you want to do, you can do. It's really important.
Okay, so let's go back to your district, okay? So you're District 5. Can you tell me what District 5 consists of in our area in Terrebonne Parish?
Okay, so District 5 is all Elisa Park, where you guys
that's
live.
That's exactly where I live.
Yeah. So kind of starting where from Kanata's all the way over, all right? And then all of downtown.
Okay.
So all of this area, you think about like, this is Maple Park, and then we go over to like the Palm Avenue area, and then that area by the hospital, going all the way up to the Municipal Auditorium.
Okay.
And then I actually have some areas in the on the east side too. If you go over the Twin Span, you have what's called Homa Heights.
Yes.
It runs up into, I'm sorry, my brain, I just have, I'm sorry?
Or like Mahler Park area.
Yeah, like that Mahler Park area and all that area. And then you also have the other side, which is like Peach Street and all that area. So it's a really big district.
So do you have, like, where does it start downtown? Like by Morgan Street or Lafayette Street?
No, it actually is a... There's a bit of gerrymandering in that area.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
And Lisa Park is very gerrymandering.
Yeah, I know. I'm on one side and I'm on the side too.
Yeah, because I actually split that with Mr. John Omni. Yeah. So I have one side of the street and then he has the other side of the street. We're referring to Willie Lou.
Yeah.
And then some of the downtown area, like that Morgan Street and by the high rise and all those areas, they're kind of cut out. And so that is going to be Mr. Carl Harding's area. So then I pick up right after the feed store.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts out again by Gabas Street, which would be John Navy. And then I get right after the courthouse all the way down. It's really bizarre the way it happens. But then I do all the way up until... where the high rises and all that area.
Okay.
And then I pick up again at a state drive and all in that area.
So you have this whole area, right? What are your plans? What if you could focus on one thing and make sure we get it in District 5 or just District 5, what would you really want to see that you get done during your time?
Well, I don't think it's one size fits all. There is no one thing that needs to happen because every area has different needs. And so whenever I campaigned and I met the people, I listened to what they said. The big thing in Elisa Park was drainage.
Of course.
I worked with President Dove and almost immediately we got those pumps put in on St. Louis Canal. And has that been helping out with...
This is the thing.
Okay.
I think they've been helping out. I live in Elisa Park. A lot of people in our area feel like once it's raining hard, it needs to go away right now as it's going.
Right.
But Elisa Park is draining faster.
Good. And so what those pumps do is they suck all the water into St. Louis Canal.
Mm-hmm.
And so while the water may rise, and you may get water in your driveway or on the street, as soon as that float switch gets turned on, it sucks that water. It's really quick because we have pumps here and you can see it. You can see the water. It's just a flow. And so we got those three pumps almost immediately put on St. Louis Canal, which has been a big help. And we're going to go back and we're going to look at problem areas. So that was one of the first priorities that we had. Another priority and something that I'm working on is drainage for our downtown area because the problem downtown is the infrastructure is so old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of the culverts and some of the pipes are maybe old and cracking, or some of it might be crumbling a bit because this was built years and years ago. And so we need to go in and see those problem areas and we need to restructure. Now, is that very expensive? Yes. Is that something that we're going to prioritize? Absolutely. And it may be something that I may get an opportunity to work on coming up pretty soon. And then going to the Palm Avenue area, we've got a problem on Pecan Street where the intercoastal has been seeping into Pecan Street and it's been happening for about 20 years now.
Wow, 20 years?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, it's kind of where that Motivative Seafood is. They've got that oyster plant back there. It's back in that area and it's just seeping and And they couldn't figure it out, but I think we figured it out. And so that's going to be something that we're going to be starting very, very soon. And so those are all kind of projects in the different neighborhoods. One of the other things that I'm very passionate about is restoring our downtown and downtown revitalization. And I've been working with Mr. Chris Pulaski about some of his plans, and he's fantastic. He's wonderful. He's got these great ideas, these great plans. He did a downtown demonstration, and then COVID happened. And so that set him back as well. And so just supporting that effort and supporting that, because our downtown is so precious that I would love to see it be something where we want to take our families, or we want to go spend you know, a date night, or you know, we want to go shopping. So just bringing those businesses back and improving that, I think, really is important. And then the number one thing that I'm very passionate about is recreation. So so it seems like a lot, but we can work on different things at the same time.
So let me tell a little something about myself. I grew up in San Diego, inner city, till I was 16. In the last year, I've traveled the world 4 different times around the world, been all around the world for my jobs. I'm constantly everywhere. I see different communities. I stay in these communities, you know, communities. I was just in Milwaukee, right? Milwaukee, that's a Democrat-run city. That's a Democrat-run city completely. I was getting taxed 5.5%. I know that on the 5.4% stuff on sales tax, right? Sales tax. That freaking place had beautiful things to do. You know what I'm saying? Had beautiful things to do. Was well taken care of. Well, I know they don't have to deal with drainage and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff to deal with. But we're over here in Terrebonne Parish getting taxed, what, 10.5? 10%? You know that, you know, 10%. I'm already getting taxed by the federal government much, then the state, then I'm getting, you know, every dollar I spend, 10 cents is going, you know, and I think just a lot of us, we're just like, what's going on? You know, we're not, is drainage levies and all this taking so much money from our parish that we can't do nothing else? What do you think?
I think that there's enough money to do everything. And we also get money from the state.
Yeah.
And so if we would reevaluate our priorities, I think that we would be able to see that there is enough. And with recreation specifically, and the reason I created the task force, the modernization task force, is that looking at the entire system of how we can use what's coming in a more proficient way. Because there is some areas where we may have duplications. And so looking at that in a different light, I think it's really, really important. And do we have enough? Yeah, I think that, and I kind of look at things as though, because all these things are very, very important. And I respect these two men very, very much. Mr. Michel Claudet, he was our Roads and Bridges Parish President. So he went in and his priority was to improve our roads and bridges, okay? And then Mr. Dove, his priority is drainage. Maybe our next parish president needs to be a quality of life parish president.
I believe the same thing I've been pushing. It's time. I really feel in this area, we need someone to take us into the 21st century. You know, 21st century. Even to just having sidewalks, man, like sidewalks on Main Street, you know, we people need to be able to walk, you know, bike lane, something, you know, we need to move. You don't want to ride a bike in Terrebonne Parish right now. They just had someone hit, like,
danger,
hit killed, you know,
right.
You know, hit and killed, I think, like 6 weeks ago from riding a bike, you know, riding a bike. And I just feel it's time, you know, hey, thank you, Gordy, for the levies, you know, thank you, you know, but guess what, man, we need someone with fresh ideas, new ideas, I believe, truthfully, we should be 100% focused on oil, but we need to find something else.
Absolutely. If
my last 15 years, I mean 12 years, it's been dropping and upping of money, what's going to be like it be for our kids, our kids that don't get education, to don't go to college, and they're... If I've seen it 3 times in 12 years, they're going to see it every other year.
Right, so and you've got these little pop-up tech companies and these different industries that are going to Slidell or going to Metairie. And what do those towns have that we don't have? Well, we need to focus on improving the quality of life to attract those businesses. Because if they come here and they sit, they look at Terrebonne Parish, and I'm not saying what we have is bad, but they compare us to one of these other cities, even Thibodaux, and say, where do I want to invest? They're going to invest where their wife has somewhere where they can take their kids. They're going to have somewhere where they can go for a fun night out. They want somewhere where they're going to have those quality of life issues, and that we really need to focus on that so that we can bring the businesses in. And we honestly have so many intelligent and driven people in this parish that we could do it.
Yeah, and you know, I throw this out a lot, and a lot of people don't like me for saying this, right? And I really believe, like, I've been working in the wind industry. I was up in New York City at a conference over there, and the money that the government is pouring into New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, of subsidized money getting wind farms up off their coast. Mm-hmm. Texas, deep red state. They have wind farms everywhere on the
driven past them.
Yeah, you know, everywhere. I really believe if we start, our shelf is gone. The oil field shelf is done. No one works shallow no more. We don't got no work in Terrebonne Parish because everything's getting built deep water. We can't get stuff out into the deep water. We can't build big, huge, semi-submersible platforms over here. We can't get them out our locks. But if we start, if Terrebonne Parish comes to them and says, "Hey, we're gonna focus on oil." Well, guess what? We're going to go to U.S. Wind and say, "Hey, we want you here." Mm-hmm. We bring wind into Terrebonne Parish, the first parish that does it. We're going to... Every wind turbine offshore needs a jacket, just like the jackets we've been building since the 60s. Mm-hmm. Since the 60s, right? Since the 60s. We have infrastructure to build these, get this. We bring it here, we'll be the richest parish around. We everything would tie into us. Mm-hmm. Tie into us. That's going to put all our shipyards back to work. Mm-hmm. All our shipyards back to work. That's going to put everybody back to work. Mm-hmm. Another thing, STEM. We need to be working on STEM. Absolutely. On STEM. I really think our school system needs to be coding from a young age. It needs to be prerequisite coding. Mm-hmm. coding. Mm-hmm. If we're pushing out full-blown coders by the time they graduate,
right,
you know, tech companies are gonna come here.
Right,
what do we have? I have open spaces all around Terrebonne right now. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I do. Right, we have what we don't need in Terrebonne is another storage unit.
No.
I'll tell you that, right? I don't need another storage unit in Terrebonne. No. Right?
Strip malls.
You know what I'm saying? You know, we don't need that, right?
Mm-hmm. And we probably don't need another car wash.
You know, we don't need that. But, you know, those areas can be built for servers in the future. You know what I'm saying? Built for servers in the future.
Yeah.
We push out coding. We push out coding and STEM at our younger age here. I really think Terrebonne could come out on top in the next 15 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
15 to 20 years.
Right.
20 years. Because I'm telling you right now, as you know, I don't care who you support, Biden or Trump or whatever, sooner or later, we're going to get a Democratic president in, and they're going to shut down drilling. And if we don't start preparing for it now, where are we at? We are in Morgan City another 5 years.
Right.
Everything's shut down.
Right.
You know, nothing but empty buildings. And that's not what I want. You know what I'm saying? I moved here when I was 16. I love it here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where my family. I coach softball here. I'm very tied into this parish. But I just feel like we're going down. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're going down, and companies are leaving. Mm-hmm. No money's being spent, and we need to figure this out. We need to figure it out now. We don't need Band-Aids. We need to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the Morgan City area, I grew up in that area, and so I know it very, very well. And to kind of bring it back to rec, okay, although the oil field has moved out, they have pivoted in the fact that they were able to shift their focus and their economic focus. And as far as rec, have you ever been to the Bayou Vista Community Center? The Bayou
Vista
Park?
I have, yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic.
I have been there. I played there last year.
Right. Every family there plays ball. Every family there plays soccer. They all are invested in recreation. And so while I don't want to say their rec system is better or, you know, we're some part of them, it's a different system. And so possibly if we could go and travel and look at these different systems and say, how can we incorporate some of that into our area? I think that'd be really, really important.
It's true. You know, it's very true. I grew up playing baseball and football in San Diego, and the rec system there was amazing. It was a real amazing system. They didn't lock their areas either. They just, you know, I'm talking, this is, I grew up inner city, you know what I'm saying? I grew up really inner city, and you ask my kids, I took them there last year, and we stayed with my mom, and it was, you know, it was like, don't go outside, don't wear no red, you know what I'm saying? That's, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
and
right.
And, you know, I had a really good experience growing up with rec there, and at any given time, I was able to go as a kid and enjoy our rec services, right? Our rec services. But, you know, rec and Terrebonne is like the biggest topic that's going on right now. Everybody's kind of freaking out on this mileage tax. You know, what is a mileage tax?
So a millage, you know.
Or a millage, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So a millage is property tax.
Okay.
So think about your house, okay? So your house is worth $250,000. Yeah. For every $1,000 your house is worth is one mil.
Okay.
So think of every $1,000 equals $1.
Yeah.
All right? And those mils that get collected go to pay for our fire, and you know it goes and pays for recreation, so it goes to pay for our roads and bridges, so just different aspects of our community. That's what our property tax pays for. That's kind of been the hot topic, especially when you talk about recreation. And I'm going to actually reflect some of my notes here. We have 11 different rec districts, okay?
Yeah.
All right, which is kind of
kind of insane.
And other people around the state, they think they that's what, 11 rec districts. That just seems, you know, a bit crazy.
How many government districts we have? Like your District 5, how many do we have in our parish?
We have 9.
We have 9.
Yeah.
So we have 9 people representing,
right.
9 districts.
And then we also want to think about every rec district is almost like a micro government.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
What it is.
Yeah,
exactly what it is.
They have their own procedures, they have their own rules, they have their own governing body, which is their board.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one operates independently of the other. So just to kind of go through a little bit about the mills, and we talked about mill was your property tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Rec 1 is paying 7 mills. That's the Schriever Gray area, okay? Rec 2, 3 is 311, Lisa Park and Broadmoor, they're paying 5 mills. Rec 3A, which is Lafayette Woods and Village East, they're paying 7 mills. So you see how everything is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rec 4, which is Dulac and Grand Cayou, pays 6.9. Rec 5 is paying 11 mills, and that's Berg. Rec 6 is Montague, they pay 18.7 mills.
Wow.
Rec 7 is Chauvin, 9.5 mills. Rec 8 is Gibson, 9 mills. Rec 9, which is Bayou Black, is 15 mils. Rec 10 is Dulage, which is 11.5 mils. And Rec 11, which is City of Houma, is 10 mils. So as you can see, things are very different.
It is very different.
You can have someone, and there's some areas of the parish where literally one person on this street will pay 5 mils, and the person on the other street is paying 11 mils, and they're thinking, what is going on here?
The question is, right, like, well, so I was just in Berg. I just practiced, had a scrimmage in Berg at the new field.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The new fields in Berg, man, those were nice. Those were nice. Those were nice, you know. But as you say, I can see all sorts of money getting poured in, but probably not being distributed. That's what we were trying to say, not distributed properly, you know, through the parish, or like they just keep their money or whatever. So are you saying that we might need like, I really don't think, you know, Montague and Berg should be a different freaking, you know, should be a different district for recreation.
Yeah. One of the things that's happened, you know, I'll just chime in a little bit on the bayous, because I mean, I grew up in Chauvin, is when these districts were set up, you got to think back to all these districts was set up back in basically the 1950s. Terrebonne Parish, before it was a consolidated government, had a, what was called a police jury system. And so you got to think back, most of these lines were drawn in like 1957, 1959. And you got to think back in that era, people couldn't travel as far. You know, think about it, travel ball didn't exist. I mean, if you lived down in Chauvin, it was...
Yeah, you lived in Chauvin. Yeah, you lived in Chauvin.
It was your whole day trip to get to Houma back then.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have girls come and play with me, coming from all the way down the bayou. You know, they do...
It's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, they do that. And I know they come every day. They tell me, oh... You know, I'm coming to town either way, you know, either way. We are, with transportation, social media, we are getting smaller. You know what I'm saying? It's getting smaller.
And so, when you think about how the facilities were designed, so, I mean, you think, you show me, I'm going to pick on Chauvin just because I'm from there. But, you know, I grew up in way down the bayou. I grew up south of the Piggly Wiggly for the people. You know, I went to Boudreaux Canal Elementary. I went to Little Caillou Elementary. Guess what? Those schools don't even exist anymore because everybody's moved out of the bayou. That's a natural progression. And the people of Chauvin largely live in Upper Little Caillou. But, yeah, the facilities of Chauvin are basically still all the way down the bayou. It's the same thing in Dulac. I mean, you have – everybody lives in Ashland, as you know, kind of up in the northern part. All the facilities are located 10 miles down the road. So I think, you know, it's kind of like this big jigsaw puzzle, but trying to...
It's time to modernize
Facilities maybe more in line of where the people actually currently live rather than where they live, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree. You know, we have to question ourselves and our organizations and our freaking governments. If we don't question them... we're not being the best we can, procedures and everything. And right now, I really do think 11 districts for our area. How many does, like, say, we'll say St. Tammany? You know how many St. Tammany has? I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
Like three or four, maybe.
St. Tammany has an elite. I've been to some of their stuff over there. It's nice. Their stuff is really nice. You know, and they have three or four, you know, and that's...
From what I recall, it was... You know, they're a little bit different animal because I think, like, the city of Mandeville has some sub-district. The city of Covington has their own. So there's a little bit, but I think
they're probably about They're probably about the size of us, I'd imagine.
One of the big, you know, for people who kind of study the topic with a true, you know, consolidated government structure like Terrebonne has, I mean, there was a bit of controversy, I guess, even when this happened, but Baton Rouge did a full consolidation of East Baton Rouge Parish about maybe a decade ago or so, I recall.
Okay, so full consolidation.
They did a program called BREC. And, you know, a lot of times I think it's just lessons learned. I mean, everybody down here that doesn't want anything to happen points to Lafourche. Apparently Lafourche did some consolidation a few years back, and there was some very big issues, you know, when it got into the La Rose and the Galliano and Lockport and how that worked with Thibodeau. I think there were some big challenges. But then some other examples seem to have done very well. So I think it's about, you just got to look at what's happening around the state.
And I think it's also looking at where we are now, because where we are right now and where we were 15 years ago is very different.
Completely.
And there was a consolidation piece that was put on the ballot about 15 years ago, and it failed drastically. But also, at the same time that piece was put on the ballot, was the same time that we had Katrina and Rita. And so, as you know, it was chaos.
And also, the bigger thing.
And also, on that same ballot, they also asked for raises for all the council people.
Okay.
So, you have Katrina and Rita.
Yeah.
You're asking to give all the council people raises, and you're asking for this consolidation. People went out in droves and voted no for everything.
Oh, wow.
Right? Because it was like, how dare you ask for a raise in the middle of this crisis? And so they just went out and everything failed. But if we look back today, and let's say we look at the environment we're in today, things are different today than they were then. And so maybe it is time that we take a fresh look at what that was or what that would mean for the parish. And I do see that we have a lot of pushback, and we have a lot of fight about, oh, well, it's always been like this, so it should always stay like
this. No, that's the worst attitude, I feel. You know what I'm saying? We got to move forward into a new direction. Right. We just have to. So, you know, I was reading, you had some graphs up on the Modernization Task Force showing that Terrebonne gets like the second most in funds from our taxes for recreation out of all the parishes in the state. And if that data is true, you know, what's going on, man? Like, what's going on? Like, dude, I go play diamonds all around, softball diamonds all around, and I'm telling you right now, even Bayou Country, it's nice and all that, but it's nothing compared to some of the places I'm at.
Well, and to kind of take another step back, to look at this recreation thing, I thought that we needed to take a parish-wide look at recreation.
That's exactly
what we need. So I created the task force. There was a lot of pushback even to just get the task force done, okay? It was a lot of politics involved, but we ended up getting it done. We've got a great group of people. I am so proud of what they're doing. I'm so proud of the chairman, Mr. LaRussa, and our vice chair, Mr. Nick Hebert. They're doing a fantastic job of providing the education and getting them to look at the entire system. They're looking at TPR. They're looking at recreation. They're looking at every aspect of it. And so they're able to look at the budgets, too, and say, you know, why is one particular rec district using 50% of their money just to pay for salaries, just to pay for health insurance and benefits? 50% of their budget. So if we think about $1 million budget, $500,000 going just for staff. That's where your money's going, and that's where we need to look at the system and say, there may be some duplication of services. Do we need 15 grass cutting contracts? Probably not.
No.
And H1 has a different rate? Probably not. We need to streamline some of that so that we can spend our money more wisely. And I do think that when this is all said and done, when the task force comes back to us, they're going to have some really good recommendations. They're going to say, all right, let's do X, Y, and Z, and we can start to move in a direction. It's not going to be all at one time. There's no way. But if we can move in a direction to start putting things in a place where the money's spent more wisely, I think it's going to be really good for the parish.
So when saying that, like, I want people to understand. Like, I was just in a conference. I went to a conference a while back ago, and it was the VP of Exxon talking. And she was saying, she says, we got to streamline stuff. For us to save money, she says, if I just use one kind of ball valve, one ball valve, I will save this company, this company, like some upwards like $150 million, right? Just by using one ball valve engine, instead of having different engineers use different ball valves and stuff like that. And it goes to the same as of this wreck, of this wreck, you know. Hey, maybe we should have two or three wrecks, and maybe of those two or three wrecks, they should come together and say, hey, we're going to streamline you and give one grass cutting contract to one person. If he wants to sub that out to somebody else, that's him. You know, that's him. Right, if he can't handle it, you know, can't handle it. And that's going to keep funds down, more money out for us, you know, more money for that, you know.
And one of the things I'd say to your analogy with the ball valves, another thing that hasn't been happening, but, you know, thinking about things they're buying. Let's say you have, they want to put in a new playground set, for example. So you have, you know, a number of vendors. We got 11 different rec districts. They're all going out shopping for their own equipment. What if you had a streamlined approach where, okay, the parish, yeah, like a parish-wide master contract. Here's
the vendor. Yeah.
Here's the, you know, five or six choices. Pick the one out the catalog. We negotiated a much better rate on this equipment than you go trying to buy it yourself. Plus, down the road, as things break and need repairs, you have this very standardized way. If they know what equipment you ordered, go fix it. Maybe you very, very pertinent to your point about the ball valves. And it's a very real example in those rec districts.
That is just simple, basic business.
None of that is happening currently.
Simple, basic business. That's all it is, you know?
And for the, you know, to talk a little bit more about about the rec districts and about the boards.
Yeah.
These are good people on these boards.
I believe that.
Yeah, and they're volunteers, mm-hmm. okay? So they're volunteers, part-time volunteers, who they have one meeting a month, maybe, one meeting every 2 months, and they have to operate a multi-million dollar business. Okay.
Okay.
So you're right, does you're that right. even make any sense?
It doesn't make
no,
sense.
No, it makes no sense at all.
And I'm going to tell you about, I know some of these people on the boards, and they're good people. Mm-hmm. They're working their butt off. And when it comes to this new tax, I mean, this renewal of tax, I think it was five mil, they don't want to lose that. They don't want to lose that. They lose that funding, you know what I'm saying? They have plans for it. They have plans mm-hmm. for it. And you can, Hunter, I completely respect that. But my issue with that is if this does go, does this hold our rec system like this for 10 years? Because it's a 10-year tax. Mm-hmm. Does it? Do you know? Or do we get a revote on this at some other time?
You know, that's something that I don't know. And I can't answer that question because what I do know, and these are the facts that I know, is that it was put on a ballot a year ago, and it was overwhelmingly, I think the vote was 55%, not to renew it, okay?
Well, people are pissed.
And then in the past year, I know things have happened, and they've worked to have the sports complex put under
Terrebonne Parish,
yes, exactly, which was a great move. It should have happened like that from the beginning.
I really think mm-hmm. 2-3 trying to handle that was just kind of insane.
Yeah, man, it was, you know? that was something really big for them to take off. But that happened, mm-hmm. And then we also had the task force. Mm-hmm. Now, the task force really should have happened about a year ago, 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's happening now, okay? And so what we would have ultimately liked to see is that they would have taken this off the ballot, waited till the task force completed, and then put it on the ballot once we had all the facts and once we knew exactly what was going on.
So is this tax happening right now, this 5 mil tax, as we speak?
It's on the ballot right now.
I know,
it's currently being collected
right now.
Yes.
And in theory, what would happen is if it failed on this ballot in November, so they're collecting it for 2020. So regardless of what happens with this ballot, Rec 2-3 is going to get, you know, $1.2-1.3 million deposited in their account in like March.
And they also have some money in their account as well.
Of course.
So they're not going to go broke.
It'll be 2021.
I'm kind of led to believe if this tax doesn't go through, all we can do is cut grass and not even fix stuff right now in 2-3. And that's my district, right?
Right. And they're going to have a lot of money. They're going to have enough money to sustain what they have. Will there be capital projects? No.
Yeah.
But it's almost as if it's kind of putting a pause on it until we can sort things out, and then they can come back and revote. And with what the task force comes back, they may look at moving some boundaries, or I hate this word because it's a taboo word, but consolidating some districts or merging some different things.
I personally and which don't
would
that.
Which would be a different tax structure.
Yes.
Okay, and so then, of course, it would go to the voters, and they would decide at that point. So this tax right now is to say that they're going to be locked in for 10 years at this mill, or they can wait. And that's kind of how I see it.
I see no problem. When is your report coming out?
Their timeline is the beginning of February.
That
way, ultimately, what we want to see happen is that something go on the ballot for next October, so October 2021. And the way the Secretary of State has their deadlines, we have to have that into the Secretary of State by April. So that gives the council enough time to do their deliberations and come up with what they want their recommendations to be as well, so that we can have something for the people.
Okay. So that's just, you know, everybody is so driven about rec right now. It's kind of, mm-hmm. especially in my area, you know. And, you know, I know you're not in charge of rec and you don't allot money or nothing, but a lot of people are like, you know, How's it $250,000 to build a bathroom? Mm-hmm. You know, how are these contracts given? You know, and are these contracts even given locally to local businesses? You know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You know, do you guys have any input? Like, how could we be spending $1 million? I think something like close to $1 million. I heard. I don't know if it's true. $1 million on like a concession stand.
And I can clarify a little bit about that. Now we do have bid laws, so yeah. We have to go to the lowest bidder, which does happen. And then of course these projects go in front of the council. Now the concession stand was actually voted on by the prior council.
Okay.
However, because it was in a field, it was basically in a cane field.
Yeah.
We had to build that up. So they had to put electrical, they had to put plumbing. There was none of that infrastructure there at all. You had a cane field. So that's why the cost went up on that. Now, I can't tell you, but you can find exactly what the $800,000 was spent on.
Yeah.
But it did drive it up because you're building it from the ground up. And so while it seems like it was a bit expensive, it was that way because there was nothing there.
Are just companies bidding 20% higher because it's government work? Is that what's going on? Because if I build a house in a cane field, it's not going to cost me $800,000.
No, and I agree with that. I understand what you're saying.
Is that what's going on? You know, or because maybe I should just get some insurance and start a contracting company and bid, you know what I'm saying?
You know, there's always going to be some caveats, like you're saying. I mean, anytime it's like a public works project, I mean, for example, you know, if you're building a bathroom at your house, it's just, I went to Lowe's and I bought a toilet and I put it in the ground. But when you're talking about building these kind of public facilities, you also have all this ADA compliance, you have a lot of these codes and regulations involved, where it's not like I'm just going to buy a toilet at Lowe's. Special ordering.
I could agree with that.
So there is that to an extent at play in that.
But if we look at modernization, we can look at ways that we can better bid these things out, or better bid these projects out, streamlining the bid process.
Is this bid process like...
In touch?
Is it like government-based, like... According to the federal government, this is how the bid process has to work.
Or is it state?
It's state. So, would it be possible to, you know, take bids that request, you know, have so many workers from our parish work on that project?
Absolutely, I'm pretty sure to be put
because, you know, that's one thing I want to see is Terrebonne Parish working first, right? Working first. I really think I'd be fine paying these, you know, $800,000. If I know it's a Terrebonne Parish company, and Terrebonne Parish workers, you know, I was just wondering if that would be like something that is in that, or we could be looking to, you know?
That's something the task force would probably look at. I know there are some anti-discriminatory things that play with that. But even touching on what we're talking about, even the cost of construction, again, going one of the things that came to mind, and once again, going back to your ball valve analogy, think about this. Say we have 11 different districts, and this district wants to put in a restroom facility, this one wants to put in a restroom facility at certain parks. There's no collaboration. So I'm getting an architect and an engineer. Yeah. Rec 2-3 is getting their own architect and engineer. Rec 9 or whatever is getting their own architect and engineer. When you could just have maybe one very standardized construction diagram that's already pre-engineered and pre-done that could be suitable for all the districts that they're sharing it on. And that would drive down that cost.
Because
you're not doing everything from scratch every single time.
So that, you know...
It's another good analogy going back to your Exxon ball valve thing. It's just business. And we're not doing that at all right now.
And that's why I really feel like that Terrebonne Parish is not... It is a government, but we need to treat it more like a business, saving money on budgets. Because right now, you know, hey, 2012, we were making money. Things were going up and everything, right? Is going up and everything, and we were spending money in the parish. A lot of stuff was coming up, but now it's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Just like me and you and everyone else here had to tighten our belts, The parish should be looking to make the cuts on not the hard cut. You know, hard. I'm not saying loop cut jobs, but how to standardize and you know, make spending work for us. You know, we're sweating, like, just like I'm not gonna freaking, I'll go buy Surefine today. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
Surefine today, you know, and stuff, but when it comes to that. And then that's pretty much on that, you know. I feel, I feel we have a lot to work to do in our rec system, because I see other rec systems, and I believe rec systems is what brings people here to this community, right?
Well, like you said earlier, you know, we travel. We travel all the time with our kids, and you go different places, and you see all this these different venues and different areas, and you think, you know, why can't we have nice things here? You know, why can't Terrebonne Parish have nice things like these other places that we visit? And everyone I talk to says the same thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Why do they have that and we don't? Not that we're jealous of other areas, but it's like, we should have that. We have plenty of money. We should be doing these things. So I think we just need to relook at things through a different lens, because it has been the same way for so long. And it's time to change things up.
It's time to modernize. Mm-hmm. This parish, right? We're not, like, if you look how the parish is built, mm-hmm. it wasn't built for 110,000 people, no. right? 10,000 people. And, you know, it's, you know, the neighborhoods are weird. It's, you know, every, mm-hmm. you know, there's a bypass road pretty much through every neighborhood, and people mm-hmm. speeding, you know.
Right.
You know, people speed,
another topic.
Yeah. You know,
yeah,
people
yeah.
speeding, you know, and it's just, that's how I feel, you know, and I'm telling you right now, I am not too happy of what's going on around here. And I'm the average guy. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I got kids that go to, all my kids went through Terrebonne, right? My mm-hmm. Terrebonne. My son graduated from Terrebonne. One of my daughters at Terrebonne. My other daughter's at Homer Junior High. They all went to Lisa Park. And I don't see it. I know we don't have a huge property tax like Harris County and Texas and stuff like that. But I just don't see where our money is going. And I think, I know that that drainage and levees have taken a lot of our money, mm-hmm. have taken a lot of our money. And being safe is a big thing.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Look at, we lucked out this hurricane season.
Right.
My thoughts and, you know, goes out to Lake Charles, the Cameron area. Mm-hmm. They got crushed twice.
Right.
Well, we were supposed to have like what, 4 major hurricanes mm-hmm. directly for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and thank you, Gordy, for that. You know, for putting our having a great levee system. You know, a levee system. But guess what, man? It's time to. You know,
it's time for us to focus our attention on something else.
Yes,
it's time for us to. And while I support that, and I support drainage and levees, because like I said earlier, we've got projects in my district that we're working on. We need to focus on the quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's really important as well that we not be complacent. And I'm not going to pretend like I know how old you are, but I think people who are raising families, the 30, 40, 50-year-olds, we need to get more involved. And we need to get more involved in our local politics. We need to get more involved on our local level, because while we can't change what's going on in Washington, D.C., and what's going on in Baton Rouge, we can have a major impact on what happens in Terrebonne Parish.
Yes, we can.
And if we work together and stop working apart, we can actually change things, and we can actually make things better for our children and for us to enjoy. And that's ultimately why I'm doing this, is to make this better so that we can have that quality of life that we see in these other places.
I appreciate this time, you guys. I think we got some really good stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, this is my first episode, you know, and I really appreciate you two are our first, my first, you know. And I really want to be bipartisan on everything, every mm-hmm. issue in Terrebonne, you know what I'm saying? I am, truthfully, I'm registered no party. I have liberal mm-hmm. views. I have Republican views
sure.
and all that, you know, and views. And that's just from, you know, I think living in San Diego or whatever,
mm-hmm, for sure.
it's just kind of who I am, you know? And I just feel that I am tired of HTV. I am tired of, you know, Homeless Day. I want to hear what I want to hear. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? People mm-hmm. want to hear from your mouths now. Mm-hmm. We don't want to read it. want to read someone's opinion. We want to hear that fact. What did you say? What did he say? Mm-hmm. What's going on? You know,
right.
And stuff. And just some, instead of some, like, this is this dude's opinion, you know. Mm-hmm. And I really feel the top government, in the top of our government, it is buddy buddy up there. It really is buddy buddy up there. And that's all we get to hear news-wise. News-wise, you know, locally and local, and that's why I'm coming out with this. You know, I want people to hear this, right? Mm-hmm. And stuff. But so, thanks for coming. And you know, I do have 20 questions for you.
Right. Oh, good.
20 questions for you, for you, and just to see who okay. you know, Jessica Domain,
okay.
District 5 Council Lady is. All right.
All right, go for it.
All right, let's go. Right. Nice and quick. Okay.
All right, gotcha.
Crabs or crawfish?
Crawfish.
Gumbo or jambalaya?
Gumbo with no rice.
Here's a hard one. Cajun Critters or Big Owls?
Cajun Critters.
Oh, there we go. I like that one. Shrimp Boots or Sperry's?
Sperry's. I have someone right now.
Fishing or crabbing?
Fishing.
Swamp Pop or Zydeco? Zydeco.
Zydeco.
Zydeco. Okay. Okay. Beer or wine?
Oh, that's a hard one. Wine.
Okay. Okay. Ford or Chevy?
Oh, Chevy.
Okay. Here's a hard one, too. Terrebonne or South Terrebonne?
Terrebonne.
There we go. Horse or donkey?
Oh, horse.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Beef stew or chicken stew?
Beef stew.
Lisa Park or Broadmoor?
Well, Lisa Park, of course.
You have one choice there.
Organic or who cares?
It's a combination of two different things.
You only have one.
Yeah. Okay, organic.
Okay, okay. Burp or sneeze?
Oh, sneeze for sure.
Okay. Math or science?
Can we say social studies?
Okay, I'll take
yeah?
that.
Okay.
College or trade?
Whew, that's a hard one, too. I used to think college, but now I think trade.
Okay, well, that's it. Well, I really appreciate it. Thank
All
you.
Right, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Chris.
All right. Have a good one.
Hey, everyone. If you like what you heard, go ahead and check me out on YouTube, Facebook, Anchor Podcast, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Give me a like, subscribe, favorite, and tell me what you want to hear, and we'll keep it rolling. Let's go. Who dat?